Welcome to another Beyond the Box Score podcast. I'm Dave Gershman, as always, here with Matt Klassen from the Greater Toronto Area. Matt, how are you?
Good.
Good? That's all?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the holidays. I'm recovering from a little bit of a cold, but I'm all right.
How was your Christmas?
It was really good. My mom was here, and my son likes to see his grandparents, so it was a hoot.
That's nice. That's awesome. Things have been a little bit quiet in the baseball world as of late. I guess last time we recorded it was around Thanksgiving. We talked about everything that went on at that time. I think we were talking about Reyes and Pujols.
Well, a lot of stuff's happened since then.
Since then, a lot has happened. Yeah, Pujols to Angel, Reyes to the Marlins. It's been a kind of a fast offseason. I feel like, you know, a lot of the big stages are already off the board. I remember a couple years ago at this time, everyone was still free agents. But you know, there's still a few big free agents left. Prince Fielder, you know, Edwin Jackson, those guys. The Prince Fielder, and then there's the lower tier guys like Edwin Jackson, Roy Oswalt,
yeah,
guys like that. But Matt, I think we should start off by talking about Prince Fielder, because he is, you know, easily the best free agent available. And,
yeah.
There's been a lot of controversy as of late. Scott Boras is, you know, talking about you know, short term deals with Prince Fielder, whether or not that would work. I recently found out that that wouldn't work because Boras denied it. But, you know, it doesn't seem like there's many suitors for Prince Fielder, and it does seem like the only suitors for him are teams that he probably wouldn't want to go to unless they offered him significantly more money than any other team would. It seems like the Orioles, Mariners, you know, there's no team out there that's a perfect fit for him unless they offer a lot of money. So I want to know what you think, first and foremost, about that.
Well, yeah, you know, the thing with Prince is that, you know, it's the usual concerns. Boras, obviously, it's a long-term deal for him. They were talking about there are rumors that he might be willing to take a three-year deal and go back on the market at 30, but the truth is, I think Boras is aware. I mean, look, I think Prince tries to keep himself healthy and tries to stay in reasonable shape. I mean, he's a big guy, but, you know, he doesn't eat, I don't know if he's actually a vegan or a vegetarian. I mean, people say that. His wife is.
Right.
But I think I don't know if that. But the point is,
I think he's a vegan.
But he stayed healthy. But look, his body. So I think Boras is right. He wants to get the contract now. And for Boras' case, you know, Prince could always leave him, and then he would be out the commission. But you know, I'm not part of the Scott Boras is the devil crowd. I think another issue is that, you know, Prince, if he declines, he's not going to get as much money. I mean, he just had an awesome year with the bat, at least. He's, you know, he's probably, Dave?
Yeah?
Still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So I think, well, he's, you know, he's at least a 4-win player, maybe a 5-win player. But I think the problem is there's just not that many slots. I mean, what teams are they talking about him going to?
I guess the Orioles, Mariners, Nationals. Nationals have been, you know, after they got Hugh Gonzalez, that's when the media started to you know, enhance the idea.
Well, they like to throw money around.
Yeah.
Not necessarily wisely, but they like to throw it around. They've got – what I find funny is they're talking about, well, you know, Adam LaRoche is our first baseman. I'm pretty sure you can – make space for Prince. You got Adam LaRoche. The issue is giving Prince 7 or 8 years, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, even at the cheapest, I mean, let's say it's a really low rate of the increase, the marginal cost of a win. It's going to be $120-130 million.
Yeah.
I think he was looking for more. Like, I think he was talking 150-160 over 8 years. I think that's a little unreasonable.
I mean, I think the market, based on what, you know, other players have gotten, I think. Boras and his corporation should definitely, you know, not settle for anything lower than that. I mean, I think they should do their best to squeeze as much money out of, you know, of
well, I don't know. What did Worth get? He got 124 or something?
Something like that. 126.
For like over 7 years, right?
7 years, yeah.
Well, the truth is, I mean, Prince isn't that much better than I mean, I know people are going to be anger. He's not that much better than Jason Worth was. He's younger, but I think it's okay to assume Prince is not going to get better.
Right.
Probably. I mean, even if he was just your typical, he was in good shape, we wouldn't assume that he was. We would assume he'd already peaked. He's going to be 28, right? So yeah, in fact, he's a big guy. He's not going to making it more likely that he peaked earlier. Now he's a special. I mean, he's a special hitter, but he's also a guy who can't play defense at all. I mean, his bat is often is his value is completely in his bat. So we're talking about a guy who has to be judged completely on his bat. He can't run the bases. So even if you say, I mean, generously, he's a 5-win player. I don't think he's been worth 5 wins very often last few years. Let's say he's worth 5 wins. Even at a higher rate of inflation, let's say 7% increase, and a typical rate of decline. Over 7 years, you're talking a market value about $150 million.
Right.
I don't know. Look, Mark Teixeira, who is a little older, but I think is in much better shape, better player, that contract is not looking great right now. The Yankees can absorb it because they're the Yankees, but, I mean, is that something the Orioles want to do? I don't know. It does seem like something Dan Duquette would try, though.
I mean, I think it's also kind of a consider being a big name, you know, consider that, you know, that they sign him and they get a ton more fans. And he has 3 good years. In those 3 years, you know.
Yeah, well, people think that'll happen. Well, people think that'll happen, but it doesn't really work that way.
No, of course not. But I'm saying, I think that's what the Orioles fans, Dan Duquette, are going to ride on if they do that. I mean, I don't think Dan Duquette thinks that Consilder is going to be an elite player for 7 years.
I think that'd be an insanely stupid move for the Orioles. That organization is a mess from top to bottom. Their farm system. I think, Dave, you know the farm system's better than I. It seems to me it's got some high-end talent up top, but they're thin down below.
Yeah.
They're a mess internationally, and the talent they do have is a long way away.
No, the whole
And they got a lot of young pitchers who all had horrible years in 2001.
The system is in shambles. They had, a couple years ago, good prospects coming up, and you know, guys like Brian Mattis, Chris Tillman, those guys haven't fared out as of yet. Who knows if they will. There's really not much talent there, and I guess the thing is
the point being that even if they started being awesome in terms of building the farm system right now, those guys still the next three drafts were awesome.
Right.
None of those guys be ready by the time those guys are ready. Prince is going to be maybe an above average player, and so then you're going to be stuck when you want to contend. You're going to have this huge albatross contract,
right?
I mean, it's okay if you're contending now. You can live with the – but I mean, this is typical of these big contracts. Later, you can live with not having value – with having bad value in those years. But you can't do it like a team like the Orioles. Now, the Nationals, I hate to say this, that might kind of make sense.
They're
going to have to live with him being bad at the end of the contract.
Better farm system than the Orioles.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Mike Rizzo, the GM, but they have a good rotation. I think Gio Gonzalez and Trevor Cahill, I cannot believe that two overrated pitchers. But as a number three pitcher, Gio's really good in the National League.
Right.
Really good. I mean, Strasburg, Zimmerman, Gio, that's a badass rotation in the National League.
Excellent. I think also, you know, the teams who don't spend – I guess the Orioles are a good example. If the Orioles do make an attempt at Chris Fielder and they don't get him, I think it would make a lot of sense to spend that money internationally and restock the farm system. I mean,
They're not going to. I mean, but the way the new CBA is, they can't.
They could.
That's probably what they're thinking. We'll invest in the major leagues, but they should be. They just can't compete. Maybe in the NL you can pull off those kind of dumb moves. Not in the NL. Not in the AL East, where you've got, you've got the richest organization in baseball, the second richest, which used to be the best run. You've got the best. One of the best run. You've got the best run organization in baseball. Then you have the Blue Jays. So you've got probably four of the smartest organizations in baseball, the two richest. You can't just say, well, we can't spend the money. We'll just spend as much money as you can internationally and sign Prince Fielder and hope it works out. They have to burn it to the ground and start over in Baltimore.
Also, back to Prince for a second. I think it's important for Prince Fielder and Boris to reconsider. I guess Boris said a couple of days ago. I think they should consider a shorter term deal with, you know, because I heard something like Boris denied a 3 for $81.
Yeah.
I would do that if I'm considered for 3 years.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm sure that maybe the Brewers would like to do that. I don't know what the payroll's gonna be like. 3 years at like 25 million per year.
So many more teams open up. There's a possibility opens up if he's willing to do that and apply for
Yeah,
life. I mean,
yeah.
Chris Sutter,
The Cubs might consider it then.
Cubs, the Brewers, I'm sure there's other teams. I mean, if I'm Chris Sutter right now, I don't really want to play for the Orioles. I don't really want to play for the Mariners. You know?
Yeah.
Money's nice.
Yeah, the Mariners are. I think that's just because Jack Z drafted him.
Right.
But that would be a disaster for the Mariners if they're giving up on Smoke.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. I mean, Smoke is,
Well, because he's been awful.
he's been awful, but he's.
He doesn't even look good at first base.
He doesn't. I'm just.
But still, to sign Prince, I don't know if they're that close.
I don't think Pittsburgh is close with any teams right now at all. I think right now it's they're still. I mean, I don't even think there's any stage. I think they're at the lowest of stages. They're where they were when the offseason started. Justin Smoke. Yeah, he was really bad at that. I'm surprised. I thought he was better than he was. But no.
Yeah.
He's worth half a win for a first baseman. That's really bad.
Well, so yeah, with Prince, it'll be interesting to see how it works out. I maybe sign a 3-year deal. I know a lot more teams would be in, but I think he wants more than that. But there's just no room for him. The Yankees and the Red Sox are booked up at those spots. I guess the Dodgers might. They've been spending money left and right. I don't understand how that works when they're with given the bankruptcy and the ownership issues, but the Mets are out because their finances are a total mess. So it's going to be crazy.
I mean, I guess the Marlins jump back in, but that's.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't even get Pujols, and
oh.
You know, they're just going nuts. Yeah, maybe, you know, I can see that. I can see the Marlins finally going nuts and offer him tons of money. That would be like the worst defensive team ever.
I wonder if they can get him at you know, somewhat of a discount compared to what Baltimore might offer if the Marlins do this stuff, because
no one's going to Florida for a discount.
No, but if you have two offers, one from Baltimore, one from Florida, Miami, rather. I mean, I'd take the Miami one even if it's $5 million less, $1 million.
Yeah, well, let's see. I mean, I don't know about that stuff. But it depends on. There's a lot of issues there in terms of taxation and things that. For stuff I don't have at my fingertips.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about a couple of other free agents, guys who are still on the market. You know, obviously not included. Fielder, but guys who still have value still are I guess interesting and intriguing. Guys like Edwin Jackson, Roy Oswalt. I know Javier Vasquez said he was retired, but he's still out there. And then there's who else is out there, Matt? There's looking at the list right here. You know, trade I want to find Tim Dierkin.
Ronnie Cedeno.
Tim Dierkin posted predictions for the remaining free agents.
Predictions? Oh man, I don't know. I kind of thought somebody would move on Edwin Jackson already.
Yeah, I think there's Kuroda, there's Pena, Oswalt, Toko Chris, Ryan Madsen, Paul Mahalo. That's really it.
That's a big sort of a poo-poo platter there.
I mean, I think Edwin Jackson. I've always liked Edwin Jackson. I think. So.
Yeah, I think E. Jackson's gonna get like 560.
You do?
From yeah, somebody's gonna do it. Somebody's gonna talk themselves. Somebody's gonna talk themselves into it.
I'll say the. I'll say either Rockies or Pirates.
Rockies or Pirates? That's kind of why the Rockies. They haven't been making noises about pitching at all.
I think they've expressed interest in. Who they expressed? They expressed interest in. I think Bass or Kuroda rather. I don't think they're gonna get Kuroda. I think they'll get. I mean, I think Kuroda's gonna be off the market pretty soon. I think he'll.
I could see Jackson going to St. Louis. Come back to St. Louis. Some of that Pujols money.
Toronto or Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit already traded him once,
right.
So I don't know about that. Detroit's rotation is actually pretty loaded for next year.
I know that Gio Gonzalez though. Yeah, I don't think so. I think the Pirates kind of. Yeah, I know they'll try for him. I don't think he'll go there. But I mean, I know they've been before. I think Toronto makes some sense.
Yeah, I can see Toronto bidding on him, but I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. I could see Kansas City stupidly. Trying to give him a Gilmesh contract.
5 years, $100 million.
No, I can see they go like 560. or something like that, or 570. Randy really wants Edwin Jackson now that his beloved Trevor Cahill's off the market. Hey, Randy, if you're listening to this, I mean that all in friendship, but Trevor Cahill, it's gonna be awesome next year with him in Arizona. See if he can, maybe he'll be just as good or slightly better, and everyone will pretend it's because he's good, not because he's pitching in the scrub league.
You know what?
What were you gonna say?
Well, I wanted to talk about the Royals. We'll talk about that later. Let's talk about Roy Oswalt for a second, because.
Yeah, Roy Oswalt, see, you know, look, I don't think the Royals should be doing a go-for-it kind of thing here.
Oh, absolutely not.
But Oswalt's the kind of guy, if he's not willing to take a one-year deal, he's the kind of guy teams should be in on. 1 year, a lot of teams should be in on him.
Yeah.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, obviously. If a team like the Royals thinks they can make a move, I mean, I don't think they should be blowing their money on that. But, heck, if you're going to give – they're giving $18 million combined to Bruce Chinn, Jonathan Broxton, Jeff Francoeur, and Unieski Betancourt next year. I'd rather spend that money, you know, what's Oswalt going to take, $12 million for a year? I'd rather spend that on Oswalt.
Right. Yeah.
There are a lot of teams. Yeah, Detroit, he'd be a great fit in Detroit. Because I don't think they want to start Jacob Turner in the majors.
No, I don't think they do that.
Although he's going to be good, I think. What do you think of Turner?
Yeah, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be really good. I just don't think he's 100% ready yet. I think he's some time in Toledo. But, yeah, he's an excellent pitching prospect. You know, I know the Tigers have, in the past, rushed some pitchers. I don't think they're going to be because he's that coveted. And they really do covet him. I mean, they really do love his future. So I think they'll find someone. I think they'll find a stopgap. So, you know, someone who will pitch up too much.
Yeah. I think Oswalt I think he'll you think he wants to stay in the NL.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. So I'm not sure AL teams, but you know, if the Yankees or Red Sox throw a ton of money at him, who knows? I'm not sure about the Rockies or the Giants, no NL West teams. But the Central, I don't know. The Reds, that'd be a good fit for Oswalt as well.
That would be a good fit. Maybe the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know what? Oswalt makes a lot more sense for the Cardinals than Jackson does, because they're looking for short-term deals so they can win with this group. Oswalt would make a ton of sense to the Cardinals.
And there's one more team. I don't think you could rule the Padres out of it, even though they already got both kids. I know the Padres had a pretty acquiring starter, which I think is stupid. I don't think they'll go for Oswalt, but I think they'll find a starter for cheap.
Yeah, the Padres are in total rebuild mode. Mixed opinions on that trade. I think they got good value back, and I think Latos is a little bit overrated. He's a very good pitcher. I'm not sure I see him as an ace. They got good value back. I'm not sure why they needed another first baseman and a catcher who might not be able to stick at catcher. But I assume they're going to move Rizzo, or you know, they could still move Alonso.
I think that's a better move. I don't like Alonso. I've never liked Alonso.
Really?
There's no tool of his that stands out. I mean, he doesn't have plus power. He's a good hitter, but, you know, there's other hitters on the Padres. You don't need a first baseman who doesn't hit home runs, just hits, you know, line drive.
The issue is you've already got a good first base prospect. And you got Kyle Blanks, who probably should play first base. And then you've got Grant Grandel, who might not stick at catcher.
I think he'll stay a catcher. I think he's a really good catcher.
Well, yeah. I think the thing is, the weird thing with him is that he's supposedly good at calling a game, and he's good at throwing out base runners, but he's not actually good at the literal catching part of catching. That's what Keith Law says, anyway.
Really? Actually, yeah, I can see that. I saw him play down the fall again, and he was not good for a receiver, but he definitely throw.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the Padres think he can stick there, because otherwise he wouldn't have traded for him when they already have a bunch of first base guys. But anyway, I don't think the Padres are going to go for Oswalt.
No, but I think we'll go for some sort of pitcher of that sort for cheaper.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a, you know, I want to let you go soon.
Hall of Fame. We got to talk about the Hall.
Let's talk about the Hall. And I also want to talk about the Royals. There's a couple things I want to say about the Royals after we're done talking about the Hall. But let's get into that real quick. And, you know, I know someone, I know a Leo Kitty on Twitter made a Hall of Fame tracker where he tracks all of the Hall of Fame voters. And who's leading amongst votes? Very large.
Who?
Very large.
Well, Larkin should be in the Hall.
He should be, and I think he'll get it. I think this will be his year. What do you think?
I don't know. He definitely should be in. But I'm not a good way. I'm not good at judging what the voters will do. I kind of thought McGuire would have a little more support.
Yes.
But I don't know what they're thinking on. But sometimes they don't like to let him in. They got this whole first ballot thing, which is so stupid. Guy's a Hall of Famer, he isn't.
Right.
But Larkin was a great, great shortstop. One of the best shortstops ever. He's not one of the top 100 players ever, but he's a.
Very good player.
I mean, he doesn't have a. I mean, you know, you can pick nits with Larkin. He doesn't have an incredible peak. But it was good enough. Andre Dawson is sort of my baseline Hall of Famer. Jim Rice is in, this guy's better than Jim Rice, he should be in. No, because Jim Rice shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Andre Dawson's okay in the Hall of Fame. I think Larkin had a career a little bit like Dawson's. There's no oh my god seasons on Barry Larkin's resume like you'd have with A-Rod or Pujols. Guys like that, or obviously Barry Bonds, sort of contemporary players. But he had a lot of really good ones. He should be in.
I agree.
And I also think people are going to vote for him because since he didn't hit tons of home runs, they're not going to get into the whole stupid steroid thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he had one season where he hit 30-some, but, you know, wasn't a regular thing with him.
I think Jeff Bagwell gets some votes. I don't think he did.
It's ridiculous that Jeff Bagwell is so much better. I mean, Bagwell's better than McGuire. I don't want to get too far there.
Bagwell was an incredible player.
But Bagwell should definitely be in. I mean, he had some. I mean, maybe didn't have a peak like you talk about the guy like Pujols. But I mean, Pujols is maybe one of the. I mean, he's maybe. Pujols is better than Bagwell, but that's. Bagwell didn't have a bad season until the very last year of his career. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just not being bad. I mean, this guy was really good, and from about 94 to 2000, the dude was just awesome.
Right, yeah.
Took tons of walks, good defender. Stole some bases early in his career. Stole 30 bases one year. I didn't even realize that. 1997, he stole 30 bases. And you got to remember, I don't know when they moved into Enron Field or whatever, Minute Maid Park, but he played most of his career in one of the most difficult parks for hitters in baseball history, the Astrodome.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bagwell, he may never get in. By the writers because of the stupid PED thing, which is a disgrace. Because there's no evidence. There's nobody's even saying they saw him take steroids. You know what they're saying? They're saying, I think he did. Oh sure he did. He had to have, because he was big. So basically, if he had muscles and hit home runs in the 90s, you're not going to get in the Hall of Fame because of some moron writers who are trying to prove some point that no one knows what that point is.
And he also may be a child molester. He also may be a mass murderer. He may have killed Tupac.
That's right. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Jeff Perlman heard it, he did.
But who was that?
Jeff Perlman.
Jeff Perlman, the writer who made the assessment?
Well, he said he talked to some dude. He said, sure, yeah, he juiced.
Well, hold on. Before we go, I want to talk about one thing real quick, all right? Udieski Bencourt, Matt, is a Kansas City Royal. Isn't that exciting?
I think it's you can always go home. You can read if you guys want to read my Fangraphs column, it's called From Tragedy to Farce, The Return of Uni, but if anyone's listening to this, which I'm sure thousands of people are.
Well, I
don't want to get, you know. The only thing you can say about it is that people say, well, it doesn't matter that much. He's not going to play that much. Then why spend $2 million on him, on a utility guy, when you've got, there's league minimum guys out there. I mean, Cesar Asturias can take up a roster spot just as well as Uni can, and he signed a minor league deal. Ronnie Cedeno, is he going to get $2 million?
I thought Sedania would have been a good option or a better option than Uni. I thought
he's at worst Sedania is just as good as just as bad as Uni.
Orlando Cabrera.
Yeah, well, yeah. This is just stupid. I don't know. You know what? People are saying it won't happen. There's a good chance he could start as be the opening day second baseman because Chris Getz is terrible. I mean, I'm not sure he's worse than Uni.
What about Johnny Giavatella?
Well, that's just the thing. Johnny, he's got the inside track. But I think it's pretty clear that, I mean, I'm not real high on him. I know some people are. I don't think he can hack it. He doesn't offer anything except making contact.
Yeah.
He doesn't have much power. His bat might be okay, but the thing is his glove is awful. I don't know what you think.
Yeah.
My impression, everything I've read is that he's got a dreadful glove. I mean, he could be Alberto Chiaspo, which would be good overall, but he could also be have Alberto Chiaspo's glove with Chris Getz's bat.
That would be terrible.
Which was not good. Well, what's your impression of his defense? And anyway, I think that the Royals obviously are not – I mean, already – Ned Yost, who sticks with players no matter what they do, was taking him out in late innings for Getz as a defensive replacement last year.
Sure.
And if you're interested in developing a guy, you don't do that.
Right, yeah. Although I think he has better on-base skills than the past, but,
Well, yeah, he does, but he's not awesome. I mean, even I think his defense is bad enough that even at second base, if he's a league average hitter, but there's a chance he could do that. He's still, you know, not a starting quality player. I think his defense is that bad. But what are your thoughts on his defense?
I don't think his defense is that good. But I mean, I don't think it's terrible. I don't think he's a plus defender at all. But I don't think his defense is as bad as Pat. But I mean, I know he doesn't have much range, but he makes better throws. He has a little more range to his right, I feel like. But it's whatever.
Yeah.
They'll see what happens. I mean, what's important is that his bat is not Chris Getz. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think what they should do is just give him most of the season to see if he can hack it or not.
Yeah.
Because they're not playing for anything, in my opinion. But I could see them in spring training, if he looks really bad out there, sending him down and, like, having Getz and Uni platoon at second base or something like that, which would just be awful.
Right, yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Matt, I think that's we definitely talked a lot. We talked for about a half an hour today. Good stuff. Good Hall of Fame talk. Any last thoughts?
Well, yeah. I am. In case readers don't know, I am writing for the Getting Blanked blog at the Score now once a week. So I'm still writing at Fangraphs, so if anyone's listening, if you go to just look up Getting Blanked, I'll be writing there most Thursdays. So Dave, you got any projects coming down the pipe?
Yeah, I'm starting to write more scouting reports. It's been a really quiet past 3 months for me just because of school and everything, but I'm going to be contributing some scouting reports to a few other websites. I'm in talks, so hopefully I might have some good news in the next podcast, or next two podcasts, whatever, but I'll let you know. But yeah, I'm going to write some scan reports for a couple sites, one of them including Beyond the Box, of course, so that'll be good. And taking it easy for now, but
yep.
Really exciting news. I was going to mention your new gig, but I didn't know if you were ready to talk about it or not, but that's, everyone give Matt a round of applause. I know I am. And Getting Blanked is great. I'm an avid reader of the Score. Happy for you, so congratulations on that.
All right.
And
Well, hey, have a happy New Year, Dave.
You too, Matt, and we'll talk the next